Listen.
Hello?
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Super Fans.
They are who we thought they were.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Next Fan Up. We just had the divisional round of the playoffs. It's very, very exciting time. Unfortunately, we only have one super fan here from a playoff team that played this weekend. It didn't go well, but we're still going to break down all four of the games from the weekend with you. But first things first, we'll go ladies first. With me today, I have Ramona, the sports gal pal. How are you?
I'm great, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing great. I had to do the gentlemanly thing, you know. Also, we now have a new guy in the midst. He is our Seattle Seahawks super fan. Kind of an odd time to start off for your first show and first week with the group, but I still give you a welcome and hello to Justin. How's it going?
You know, it's going okay. Thank you for the warm welcome. I am crying green and blue tears right now.
That's a little gross, but we'll go with that weird segue over to Tim, our Falcons super fan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Football's been over for a couple weeks, so I've been able to focus on, you know, other things that I'm very interested in. I'm taking up pottery. I find it more relaxing than watching Falcons games. And also, you know, just trying to live my life and control things that I can control and not focus on the fact that I cheer for a terrible team.
Hey,
it could be worse. I could be a Jaguars fan.
Oh, there wow. It comes. Of course, I am your Jacksonville Jaguars super fan. You know, I was going to ask you for advice on what to do during the playoffs and talk about pottery, but no more with that shot. You go to your own pottery.
I mean, if you want to do pottery together, we can.
Oh, my God, can you guys do it, like, a la Ghost, where, like, Ryan is hugging, like, Tim, like, Tim's Demi Moore, and Ryan's, like, Patrick Swayze, and you guys have Unchained Melanie, like, playing in the background? That would be awesome.
Twitter poll, who is the Patrick Swayze? We'll put that up.
Please do it. That would be awesome.
I've never done
it. No problem with that.
I've never done a Twitter poll before, so that would certainly be a weird one. This
can
is next fan up.
Ryan, really quick, can we acknowledge the fact that this is Tim and I's first time on this podcast together?
That is true. This is a moment in history. You have Tim and Ramona who have a platonic history together, and now they're on Next Fan Up together with a new guy. So it's a good mix today.
Yeah,
no idea.
And I don't acknowledge him really fully as a super fan until he comes on my podcast. That's just the way it goes.
That's right.
You've got my number. You can call me up when you're ready.
See, this is how I get all the guys' digits, is that I make them come on my podcast. There you go.
Married mother too.
Well done. All right, well, let's roll into what I think was easily the most exciting game of the weekend, which had about, by my count, 87 crazy things going on. It was the Packers-Cardinals game, goes into overtime. 26-20 win from the Cardinals. I'm just going to run down some of the things that happened, and then you guys tell me your favorite crazy thing from the game here. We had the ricochet TD that Carson Palmer throws, and it gets tipped by the Packer, but they get it. And then Green Bay ends up going for it deep in their own territory, and they don't convert. Arians decides to throw the ball, and a lot of people questioning that call, but they missed it. You get a 4th-and-20 from the Packers. That was like their first Hail Mary, and Rodgers converts that. And then when they run up to the line, Rodgers looks like he's going to spike it, and then he audibles. I've never seen anybody audible out of a spike play. It's usually spike or fake spike. And then you get the blitz from Arians on the second Hail Mary. Rodgers converts the second Hail Mary. It's maybe even better than the one in Detroit. The coin doesn't freaking flip at the halftime toss. And then Larry Fitzgerald runs by everybody, and then he does the pitch play, the little shovel pass for the win. So let's start with Ramona. What is your takeaway from this madness that we saw on Saturday?
I have two. One is Larry Fitzgerald is a football god, and I love him very much. And I'm so happy he's had the season he's had. Two, Eddie Lacy almost had 100 rushing yards. Good for him, because it's been fat Eddie Lacy. And I don't like to fat shame, but when you're running back, it's probably not really good to be the size of one of your linebackers. Like, I kept saying, oh, he could also, like, defend Rodgers, like block maybe, because he's so large this year. So that was exciting for me to see Eddie Lacy actually, you know, try to play football this year, unlike what he's done on my fantasy football teams this past year. But those are the two. Larry Fitzgerald was amazing. You know, 176 yards, one touchdown, 8 receptions. He was just fantastic. You forget that he's technically one of the old men of football.
And Justin, even though he's a division rival, apparently you've got a strong you like Larry Fitzgerald, right?
Yeah, that might even be putting it as a bit of an understatement. I mean, yeah, he's a division rival, but man, he's just so damn good. And he's one of those guys where in the off season he's like backpacking through like Peru and doing all sorts of cool stuff. And realistically, he's the kind of football player that I would have on my team any day of the week. And it's hard to say that about a division rival, but man, it's just the truth. I can't pretend that he's not one of the most amazing football players that I've seen in my lifetime.
Do you feel dirty, like, thinking that? Like, is it one of the Juliet things, or, like, you know, Sharks, Jets, where you just, like, you feel, like, dirty and kind of guilty for feeling that way about him?
Oh, yeah, no, Sharks just perfect. You know, I'll throw on my jacket and do my little snaps while I hang out with my boys, but I'll see him on the side, and I'll be like, hey, Larry, how you doing? Yeah, you all right? Cool. Thanks, man.
All right, we've got a little musical reference going on here.
we were trying to culture up the show a little bit.
That's right, that's right. Tim, what's your favorite part of West Side Story?
I'm doing the snap walk in my apartment right now. Yeah, because I can do that like a champ. That's the only thing I can do from West Side Story, because it's the only thing I remember.
Good, good. Speaking of like a champ, I got to say, looking at the numbers, you look at these and Carson Palmer has a better, you know, he's just got a better outing when you look at these numbers, 349, 3 touchdowns, blah, blah, blah. But I thought Aaron Rodgers outplayed him, and Palmer missed some passes. He threw a lot at Packers defenders where they were making some nice plays. And Rodgers comes up on the short end of the stick in overtime again. Did anybody else see that the same way that I did, or no one feel strong? Does anyone feel stronger either way about either quarterback in this game? Because I thought Rodgers outplayed Palmer.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Rodgers outplayed Palmer. I mean, he loses Randall Cobb to the most impressive catch of the weekend. Like, there's no reason he should have caught that. And then he ends up like coughing up a lung and there's like blood coming out of his mouth. Like, and then he loses Randall Cobb, and then all the announcers are like, Abradaris is now the X Factor. And I'm like, who? Like, did he win the TV show X Factor and then gets to play football? Because I've never heard of this dude ever. And he makes Jeff Janis look good. Who the hell is Jeff Janis? Like, Jeff Janis is the guy that they're like, he kind of looks like Jordy Nelson, and the fact that he's also a white wide receiver.
Oh my like, gosh, they're both white, you're right.
Yeah, like, that's it. That's
it's nice
it.
They have a spare.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, Green Bay was starting to look like the Patriots at the end of it, and you were like, ooh, is Wisconsin as racist as Boston, where all they're going to have is, like, a bunch of white wide receivers? No, like, Aaron Rodgers played out of his mind, considering he had nothing. And about fat Eddie Lacy, just go look through Eddie Lacy's Twitter. 80% of it is him talking about getting China food. Not Chinese food, China food. He earned every single fat accusation ever. Like, if you scroll back long enough to when he was at Alabama, he's basically like, man, just got out of class, I'm going to go get some food. Or, like, just took a nap, who wants to bring me food? Like, he's fatter than I am. And, like, I mean, come on, bro, you're an NFL athlete. So, yeah, now Aaron Rodgers played out of his mind. Carson Palmer was fantastic. And Carson Palmer being, like, the bravest dude ever with that shovel pass left-handed to win the game.
Crazy.
Like, what are you doing, man? No. But, oh, man, Rodgers played out of his mind. And it makes me so mad that we're paying Matt Ryan what we're paying him, because he could never play like either of those.
And I'm in McCarthy's
And somehow you make that about you, Tim. You're so selfish.
Yeah, of course I'm selfish. Have you met me?
Go ahead, Justin. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, if Green Bay had lost any more wide receivers, they were going to ask me Ryan to suit up. I mean, that's where they were at. It was that dire. The truth of the matter is, you know, Carson Palmer has been playing out of his mind all year. Aaron Rodgers has been kind of underperforming what we expect, and I think they sort of regressed to the mean a little bit. Aaron Rodgers elevated his play despite having pretty much nobody out there. Carson Palmer was still really, really good, but not like top one, top two quarterbacks, in my opinion, in this game. And I think that had a lot to do with why it was as close as it was.
And it was really setting up for another Green Bay miracle and kind of another disappointment for Carson Palmer in the playoffs, even though he hasn't had too many chances. And to Tim's point here, the Packers were without, from the start of the season, their top four wide receivers. Four. That's four deep. So you got Jordy, of course, Devontae Adams. Who else am I forgetting?
Randall Cobb
went out of the game.
And James Jones.
Jones was there.
He was just covered by Patrick.
Yeah, Pierce. He wasn't there. Like, yeah. He's not in the box score at all. I mean, I'm looking at the
Jones
recap.
Jones failed to show up. Maybe it's just three.
His hoodie might have been there.
I feel like I'm forgetting somebody. But it was a great performance by the coaching staff of Green Bay and just a really tough team to go against in the Arizona Cardinals. Good.
Mad respect to James Jones for continuing the hoodie in Arizona. Like, he's like, I'm going to go to the desert and I'm going to continue to wear this hoodie. So, like, I like that he's committed to the fact that he's a joke.
Well, Ty Montgomery, there you go. That was the other guy, Ty Montgomery. He was their rookie, and he got injured very early on. So, anyway, we got the Arizona Cardinals moving on to the NFC Championship game. And it turns out that they're not going to be at home. They're going to be on the road. We had the Panthers and Seahawks, which I'll tell you, I was looking forward to this game more than any other. I thought this was going to be the best game of the weekend. Turned out it was actually Packers-Cardinals. And Carolina gets up to a 31-0 lead. Nobody saw this coming. The biggest Panthers fans would not have dreamed that they could be up 31-0. So, Justin, at least for the first half, take me through your thought process at any of these points in the game that led to that 31-0 halftime lead.
Yeah, you know, history has shown that football really is a game of momentum. And you saw that in this one. I mean, right off the bat, Carolina rips a big, big run, punch it in shortly thereafter. Hawks defense is immediately on their heels. So you look to the offense to kind of stabilize, get them on track. Nope, pick six immediately, down 14-0, and you've barely gotten started. You know, and from there, it just kind of snowballed. I mean, the playmakers for Carolina were making plays, and you saw that. You know, Cam Newton was making some really good throws. He didn't throw that much in this game, but he definitely made some excellent ones. Greg Olsen was a beast. That touchdown he had was through great coverage. And when that happens, I mean, there's not a whole lot that you can really do. It wasn't really until the half that they were able to figure things out. I mean, you even look at Norman playing corner. He comes up with a sack. Wasn't even dialed up as a cornerback blitz. He just read it and made a play. I mean, they had everything going their way in the that first half. And really, I think it all starts with those first two series. I think if those first two series went a different way, whole first half has a very different complexion. I think that I cannot, you know, overstate how big an effect that can have right from the get-go.
That's five sacks of Russell Wilson today. You know, the Seattle offensive line was kind of a question for a few points of the season this year, but it seemed like they were playing better, and the Carolina's defensive line was just playing out of its mind. But let's move to the second half, and the Seattle magic was really working. And we've seen Seattle have some crazy comebacks in their time, some that probably shouldn't have counted, like the Fail Mary, and some that should have counted because they did some amazing things. And it really was starting to feel that way. before getting into the magic, the last couple minutes of the first half, did you want them to go for that field goal on the 4th and 5? Were you okay with going for it? They ended up having to kick a 55-yarder. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, it's the diehard fan in you always wants them to go for it. You always do. But the truth of the matter is, at that point in the game, they were down by 5 scores. You know, you look at kind of 5 boxes they have to check. 4 touchdowns and a field goal. And that was an opportunity to for sure check one of those boxes and make it a 4-touchdown game, which, yeah, still seems like a lot. But as a Hawks fan, you kind of accept the fact that they can just erupt in the second half of a ball game. Obviously, if it worked, you might hear me singing a tune, but at least at the time, I was thinking, okay, here's one of the scoring opportunities you need, and they really kind of missed it on it. A thing is, I'll add, just as far as the first half goes, one of the things that Carolina did really well to enable their offense to move well was vary their snap count. You know, really our most disruptive defensive lineman is Michael Bennett, who's just a monster. But it's kind of a little bit known that he really likes to jump that snap count. And Cam Newton did a really good job varying that snap count early in the game, keeping him from sort of starting off plays in the backfield. And, you know, once that happened between that, going for it on 4 and not getting it, not being able to get that 57-yard at the half, you know, there you go, 31-0.
So for the second half miracle comeback, I need to know. Let's go with Ramona first. Did you think the Seahawks' magic was really working? Did you think it was doomed anyway, and they weren't going to have enough time? How were you feeling watching this game?
I felt that Pete Carroll was using Andy Reid's time clock management towards the end because they seemed like they had no hustle. I'm going, hello, what are you doing? Like delayed game, they had to use timeouts. It was just ridiculous. I'm going, there was no sense of urgency whatsoever on Seattle offense at all during those last couple of drives. That was ridiculous. And I'm just like going, what you doing there, guys? Are we a little too relaxed on the West Coast? What's going on? So that was really frustrating. I was surprised. I'll be honest with you. Once a halftime hit and they were up like 31-0, I left my house and I went to Target. Sure. And I had and I filled prescriptions and I, what else did I do? Went got Starbucks. And then all of a sudden the game got interesting. So I kind of tuned in a little more. And then when I got home, I saw the last little bits of it. But that's what I noticed was just, again, while I think they got, and this is what Seattle does really well, they always readjust halftime. And this is interesting about Carolina. They play very well first half, and in the second half, they seem to fall apart. They didn't score a single point in the second half. And that is really concerning going into, you know, Arizona coming to town, because Arizona defense is not going to allow you to, have that. So they got to fix that. They got to fix that now. But I will say, going back to that first half, that pass Cam Newton did to Greg Olsen in double coverage like that, that is the reason why he should be MVP this year. That is the reason why, because any other quarterback would not have done that. He has just been phenomenal all year long. I've said it all year long. I will say it till I'm blue in the face, and that's kind of interesting because they're blue. But I really like the Panthers this year, and I'm really excited that it's going to be Panthers Arizona next week.
MVP Cam Newton for sure, but I know one guy who's probably not a huge fan of the outcome of this game. I'm just guessing. Tim, how'd you feel watching the Panthers move on to the NFC Championship?
Man, I hate them so much. Ooh. So, like, and as soon as they were up 14-0, like, one of the people that I work most closely with at my job lives in Charlotte, is a massive Panthers fan. And like, I texted him as soon as they were up 14-0, like, congrats on your victory. Like, I knew the game was over at that point. And, you know, seeing them up 31-0, I turned the game off and, like, did something else for, like, an hour, turned it on, saw it was 31-14. And I was like, oh, whoa, what did I miss? And then watched the rest of the game. But, I mean, Carolina always had this game. Like, even with them, you know, coming close there at the end, like, no, it was never out of hand. And, I mean, Cam is ridiculous. He's absolutely insane. And he's doing this without Kelvin Benjamin all year. So, like, Ted Ginn is his number one receiver. Ted freaking Ginn. It just makes me so mad. Jonathan Stewart was really good, but, I mean, that defense is for real. And, you know, I'm glad they're playing Arizona, because Arizona is probably the only team left in the playoffs that can beat Carolina. So, you know, I'm bleeding some red, you know, next week, because I'm one of those people that will always cheer against my arch rival. I'm not like these SEC fans down here in the South where all of a sudden Alabama won the national championship, so every school in the SEC won the national championship. It's super annoying living in the Southeast. Oh. Like, it drives me up a wall, up a freaking wall. One of my best friends is an Auburn graduate, and he was cheering for Alabama. So, like, happened, like, crazy here, like, crazy. There were people from Falcons Twitter cheering on Carolina because, quote, well, we're the only team that beat them this year, so it shows good on us if they win the Super Bowl. No, it doesn't. Stop. I hate Carolina. Yes. They played out of their minds today. They were really good. And, I mean, dude, I don't even know. Like, I feel bad for Arizona next week.
Don't get me started. Yeah, that whole cheering – the cheering for your division or something in the NFL is non-existent. That's just – that's a college thing. And, yeah, get that out of
Shouldn't
here.
Shouldn't be a college thing.
Not every college person does that,
by the way. Not every college person does that. You cheer for the ACC all the time.
I cheer for the ACC, but not my arch rival. So Hokies can burn in a cesspool of, like, death.
I can't wait till your kids go to Blacksburg.
Another thing I thought this game was missing, as you mentioned, was a good old-fashioned Ted Ginn drop. Just like a long pass, and he drops it, and then the Seahawks take it back.
A fumble.
A touchdown next play or something.
He had a fumble. I mean, you know, that's close.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, truth of the matter, I think, you know, they only threw for like 150 yards. Give him enough chances, he will drop.
Yeah, they didn't have to throw because your secondary didn't get a workout today.
The thing about this game is I've seen the Seahawks do so many amazing things, as we all have, but 31-0, I'm the most optimistic, and I'll watch the game to the end no matter what. I was just thinking that there was no chance because Carolina looked so good. And even then, I just give so much respect and credit to the Seahawks. You know, that whole heart of a champion, championship stuff, it can be cliche. But, I mean, they were really an onside kick away from tying the game or even a field goal kicked earlier in the game, possibly. From tying the game, and it's just amazing. Goes to show how good Carolina is, but they could not get anything going in that second half.
That's Seahawks, though. Seahawks, every big game you think about with the Seahawks, Ryan, every single one comes down to this. An onside kick, a field goal, this sort of thing. You know, in order for Seahawks to really – and, yes, they are very good, and I like them, but at the same time – you know, I just don't – if you're going to equate them to maybe like a Patriots level, then you need to destroy teams. You know, Patriots go out, and as much as I hate it, they destroy teams. Seattle doesn't really do that. So, you know, and I don't know if it's in their makeup to do so.
Well, see,
well, I'm not comparing them to the Patriots, but Justin, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, over the latter half of the season, the Seahawks were the top scoring offense in the league, and they were blowing out teams left and right, including the Arizona Cardinals. So they do that, but, you know, you're not going to blow out every team. And I don't care if you're the Patriots or anybody else, nobody really blows out the elite teams. That's really, really rare. In a game like this, you know, it was really a question of perhaps. I would love to see the second half Seahawks versus that first half Panthers team. I think that would be a game to watch. You know, both teams had a good half and a bad half. It just, you know, Time unfortunately ran out. A couple of real, real close first downs, which were within an inch or so of being fourth downs, ended up going Carolina's way. So it did end up being really close. And I agree with you on the point that the clock management was a little rough at the end of the game. People who were kind of chatting with me as it went on, you know, probably heard me screaming, "There's not enough time, there's not enough time," over and over again. We kind of take pride here in the Seahawks in that to put them away, it takes like a stake through the heart and a silver bullet in the head. I mean, you can't put this team away easily. Like, it doesn't matter what the score, we do not go away, and we tend to do a lot in the fourth quarter. So no lead is ever really safe.
Did anybody ever notice too? Caroline did the best trolling over the weekend because after that last, like, it was towards the end, Russell Wilson had done something, or I guess overthrown something, and they played Macklemore's song that pumps up Seattle normally. I thought that was hilarious.
That was wonderful. I'm glad someone else caught that because when it happened, like, I was sitting there laughing and I went to Twitter.
I was like, that's fantastic.
For Macklemore to see if he said anything. And I was just like, I don't follow Macklemore. I searched him out because I respect myself. But yeah, no, I really wanted him to be just like, man, F you, Carolina, or something like that. But there was nothing. So yeah, made me kind of bummed out.
Well played, Carolina. Well played.
It was almost Russell Wilson country, but then it was not. It was not meant to be. And it's true. They do not go away. You have to chop off the head and every other part. As I believe, Tim, I'll bring it back to you, that it was wasn't it a Seahawks-Falcons game for the Falcons to go to the NFC Championship a few years ago? And the Seahawks were, like, coming back like crazy before. It was like the Seahawks being born, really.
I think so. I don't remember that far back.
Oh my!
Wow. Yeah,
Justin, do you remember that?
Wait, no. Tim, was that back when you were a Steelers fan?
Potentially, yeah. Like I've stated before, in my defense, I've only been a Falcons fan since 2013, so this is fairly new for me. So if it's pre 2013, I was a Steelers fan.
True. Yeah,
you can
true.
Check out
Justin,
his story of why he's
up
not
anybody
that
here?
On my show.
Oh yeah, no, I'm with you. That was Russell Wilson's rookie year. It was right after they came back from a big deficit to beat Washington in the playoffs, and then ended up doing the exact thing and taking a lead with about 30 seconds to go in the game before Tony Gonzalez and got them within field goal range on two big catches. But yeah, that game really was the start of kind of this modern incarnation of Seahawks, where, you know, they'd start to lift the reins off of Russell. You know, they were, you know, hard hitting. And then, you know, next year going to win the Super Bowl, return to it the year after that. That Falcons game was a big turning point, actually.
Well, there you go. It's been an amazing run, but now, hey, it's the Panthers' turn. It's the MVP Cam Newton's turn to see if he can get to his first Super Bowl, and he's going up against Carson Palmer. See if he can get to his first Super Bowl, and we will have previews for you here at Next Fan Up. And of course, you can follow our previews on Facebook, and also follow us on Twitter. And you can send us emails too at Gmail, nextfanup@gmail.com. Well, we got the NFC teams decided. There were also two other games going and two other very familiar quarterbacks who went on to advance to the AFC Championship. But let's start with the first game of the weekend, Chiefs and the Patriots. The Chiefs were the hottest team in the NFL, ladies and gentlemen. Alex Smith led Chiefs, hottest team in the league, going up against the big bad Patriots at home yet again. To me, it was kind of a normal Patriots playoff game where they just take care of business. The Chiefs got into it a little bit, but I never, ever really got the feeling that they were going to actually take this game. You know, Chiefs got down, I think, 21-6 at one point. You have Alex Smith throwing the ball 50 times. His yards per attempt average is 4.9. The Chiefs' running game didn't really get going. You know, they played it close. It was a very nice season, but Ramona, Andy Reid, and the Chiefs fell to the Patriots.
Yeah, dear Chiefs fans, welcome to Andy Reid in the playoffs. Yay! So here's the deal. This happens. We'll have like one amazing playoff performance, and you look at them like, yes, this is the year, Andy. You're going to bring us to the promised land. You're going to take our somewhat mediocre quarterback and our awesome wide receivers and our really good running backs, and you're going to get us to the Super Bowl, and we're going to win. We're going to win. And then, no, he pulls the clock out because he can't figure out how to manage time. Just, oh my God, I saw this tweet last night and I thought it was fantastic. Someone said he needs to wear like the big Flavor Flav clock all off season long to learn how to tell time, because the man just it boggles my mind. It just, oh, so frustrating. I felt really kind of bad for them. But at the same time, because I don't, the Chiefs fans in Gal Pal Nation have been really obnoxious to me, so I'm kind of glad they lost. Except for Nick, I do like him.
Yes, Nick is a good guy, and Ramona says that he and I compete for the best voice, so we'll have that throwdown at some point. But yeah, true. So Nick could not join us today. We also don't have Patrick, our Patriots super fan. But it's just another Tom Brady, Bill Belichick win at home. They just do what they do. Tim, did you see anything in this game? Did you think before the game the Chiefs had a chance? We had some injury questions with the Patriots. I mean, even with Tom Brady early on, but you also had Gronk with something going on. You didn't know how Edelman was going to be. Tim, did you ever think the Chiefs had a chance?
Yeah, you know, coming into the playoffs, like, I looked at all the teams that were out there, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to be crazy, and I'm going to pick the Chiefs to win it all. And, you know, I thought that they had a shot, and, you know, I mean, the Patriots just came out like fire. And as soon as I saw that Jeremy Maclin was too broken to play, I was like, all right, this is over. And I know it sucks to just blame it on, you know, one player not being effective, but legitimately there was nobody else that Alex Smith could, you know, realistically get the ball to, because they were just keeping, you know, Kelsey covered like crazy. And you know what, then you have Chris Conley, you know, the rookie out of Georgia. Ooh, big deal. He was like a fourth or fifth round pick, so he wasn't all that impressive. But you know, on the whole, I mean, it was hard because the Chiefs have had so many, you know, injuries this year, and you know, the fact that they even made it this far was impressive. But I mean, as soon as this game started, it was over and kind of bummed me out. They got close. I mean, they only lost by 7, but still, it was just another one of those games where, you know, Tom Brady was never not in control.
And I don't blame you for thinking the Chiefs could go that far. They've been a good team. I picked them to be in the playoffs this season, and when they started 1-5, I was like, oh, well, I got that really wrong. Turns out, you know, they're going to rattle off a bunch of wins in a row, and historically – not like anybody needed new information about Alex Smith, and he is, you know, I'll say he is a good quarterback, and he can get your team wins, but it just shows the difference between him and the elite guys. Like we were talking about Rodgers, how he lost so many receivers and still keeps it ticking. Alex Smith, you lose your one guy, really, Jeremy Maclin, as you said, and it's like everything kind of falls apart. Brady on the other side, he's had many years, you know, with nobody to throw to. He always gets it done. Other guys left in the playoffs, you know, Ben, Peyton, Ed, you know, they just get this done. They're elite. And at the end of the day, Alex Smith throwing 50 times is not really the recipe for success for the Chiefs. Justin, do you have any takeaway from this Chiefs-Patriots game, or you just want to go
yeah,
with,
you know,
Patriots?
I was definitely Yeah, you know, it's I certainly never like to see the Patriots succeed. I'll be very upfront about that. But going into this game, you know, I like X's and O's. I like analyzing matchups, that sort of thing. And the Chiefs do match up pretty well with them. But as soon as the playoffs start, like, take all that and throw it out. You look at the head coach, you look at the quarterback, and, you know, I never really doubted the Patriots were gonna win this game. You know, going into it, the injury reports were, as usual with the Patriots, source of entertainment more than anything else. So seeing, you know, them list 37 different ailments on Gronk before the game starts was kind of fun. But without Jeremy Maclin and without Jamaal Charles, you know, you're putting it all on Alex Smith's shoulders, which, you know, 50 passes, that's exactly what that's reflecting. He's a good quarterback. I like him, but he's not that guy. You know, he's not the guy who can do that. You can win with them if you have the right team. You might even be able to win a title with them, but you can't tie your team on his back. It's just, you know, his shoulders are not that broad.
And the defense, which is awesome, of the Chiefs, no sacks in that game. You had a lot of questions going in about the Patriots' offensive line, and no sacks for the Chiefs, and it was certainly not meant to be. And so the AFC Championship game will include the Patriots and – the winner of the Steelers-Broncos game, which by this time everybody knows the winner. And Justin let out a little bit of he's never happy to see Tom Brady win, and I understand that. There's lots of Patriots haters. Me personally, I'm fine with the Patriots, and I never mind seeing them win because Brady might be the best quarterback of all time. I do not like seeing Peyton Manning win, I got to say. And even though he was not a huge part of this game, yet again he moves on to the AFC Championship. To my dismay and to the joy of many others, because he seems beloved somehow by everybody. But pretty interesting game we had. Steelers-Broncos, you had a lot of injury questions again this time for Pittsburgh. Ben, you didn't know how he'd look. The running back situation was dire. Antonio Brown, possibly the best wide receiver in the league, he is out. And so they go in kind of undermanned. But the Broncos get it done at the end of the game. And really, it was all lost on a Fitzgerald Toussaint. That's right. He plays running back, in case anybody's not sure who that is. He was the running back for the Steelers. He fumbled. Broncos picked it up, made the game 20-13. And that was it. What's that, Tim?
So that's not the guy who wrote the Great Gatsby?
No, that's F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Same yeah, dude.
It's close, though.
No, it's close. Not. It's really
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
Word
no,
reading.
No, no. He might have written the...
one of the greatest, the great American novel. No, that's so, awesome. Francis Scott Key.
Oh, okay. Novels. All right. We're same close. Person. I don't know. So Francis Scott
I bet
Key
those
fumbled.
Two writers would have fumbled in a key time, too.
Oh.
Boo.
Wow.
All right. So let's start off with you, Tim. You got Steelers-Broncos, and it's going to end up with another Brady-Manning game. I got to know, who are you rooting for in this game? Because your allegiance is gone from the Steelers? I don't know. What were you thinking watching this game?
I was completely neutral in this game. Well, I mean, to an extent. Like, I don't think that the Broncos can beat the Patriots. I hate the Patriots. They're just insufferably annoying. So, like, I was thinking, if the Steelers can squeak this one out, and then next week get Antonio Brown back, they have a game in New England next week. You know, but... And that was my whole rooting interest. If it's New England and Carolina in the Super Bowl, this will be the first time in probably my entire life that I actively don't watch the Super Bowl, because I don't want to see either of those teams win. Like Carolina, if they win, oh, I have to hear it from all the bandwagoners around here. And then if the Patriots win, I have to hear about it from Patrick and Pod Vader, which is almost as bad as the bandwagoners. So... You know, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't want either of those teams. So I was like, you know, maybe the Steelers, because they legitimately could beat the Patriots. Now I feel like the Patriots are just going to walk into the Super Bowl because the Broncos are garbage on offense. But, I mean, like, you know, like we said, the game turned when, you know, F. Scott Fitzgerald fumbled on the whatever yard line. So, I mean, as soon as he started getting hit, I was like, he's fighting for too many yards. And there's the ball. Like, it's the classic fumble in the playoffs move right there. And I don't know. You're probably the Steelers should even be in there. Like, they lost, like, half of their offense throughout the year to major injuries. And the fact that they're even there was really good. So, I don't know. And this game was terrible to watch.
On both sides of the ball, I try to take bias out when Manning is playing. And I think I can do that sometimes. But – I honestly thought the Steelers just outplayed the Broncos on both sides, even their defense. And we talk a lot about how quarterbacks play in crunch time, but I would give a lot of credit to the Broncos defense in crunch time, because they were not getting a pass rush on Ben at all, like in the entire game. And then the last few minutes comes, and when the Steelers need it most, that's when the Broncos defense stepped up. So they had a good crunch time defense moment, I really thought. And now, Ramona, I heard Tim say that there's a possible Super Bowl matchup that, not this year, but just theoretically possible, that I would never watch. But you were surprised when you heard Tim would not watch the Super Bowl, and I completely understand. Please tell me any of your takeaways from this game.
A few. It was okay. I'm sorry, Ryan. It was nice to see Peyton Manning playing somewhat decent football. It's not the level he normally does, but it is nice. I'm kind of excited to get one more round of Brady versus Manning. I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of excited about that. Here's something interesting, guys. Patriots Extra, which is an account that follows me, and thank you very much on Twitter. You can follow me on @SportsGalPal, by the way. Since 2003, it has been Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, or Peyton in the Super Bowl representing the AFC, with the exception of 2012, which was Joe Flacco. So that just shows you that the AFC is just really top-heavy with these kind of three teams, and that's it. And that's kind of a disadvantage. I don't feel like the Broncos or the Patriots could compete against either Arizona or Carolina right now.
I mean, look, that's a really interesting statement. I kind of don't blame you. The Broncos on offense just don't look the same, and it's been well stated, and Manning didn't look great today, but he got it done, and his receivers were really letting him down. He hit some guys right in the hands, and they were dropping it, honestly. But I feel like the Broncos' offense is probably the weakest unit left out of the four teams remaining. Just on any of them left. I still think when you get Manning and Brady in there, even though Brady has the obvious advantage, and I think anyone who says Manning is better is just out of their minds. I doubt Bill Belichick really wanted to see either of these quarterbacks, Roethlisberger or Manning. But Justin, where do you stand in this game? Probably maybe neutral or where are your allegiances? Just watching this Pittsburgh-Denver game.
You know, this one's kind of tough. I don't have a firm feeling on either team. You know, I have some residual dislike of both, one for the Broncos from the old AFC West days and one from the Steelers just because of that Super Bowl back in 2005. You know, the big thing for me, though, is, I mean, hats off to Vontaze Burfict. He managed to ruin two games with one hit. I'm kind of like the kind of skill it takes to do that. Wow, that's amazing. I would have loved to have seen this game with Antonio Brown in there. You know, he's such a dynamic playmaker. He's so much fun to watch. And I think the results probably would have been different. That because I want the Steelers to win, but because I think that's a better football game. I am looking forward to seeing, Manning kind of take what is hopefully his last ride through the playoffs. If I'm a Brady hater, no, that means that I'm a team Manning. I've just enjoyed just the ridiculous stuff he does behind the line of scrimmage. So, you know, that's really just my biggest takeaways, man. What could have been in this game if we had Antonio Brown there? And I definitely agree with your assessment that the weakest unit is the Broncos offense. They're just, you know, they're not dynamic. They can't do that much. They're not even that much fun to watch, honestly, which is a bit of a shame. And, yeah, I don't see how the Broncos, if they did represent the AFC, would have any kind of chance against Carolina or Arizona. I think that would be a bloodbath.
And it is true that they're not fun to watch, which is just odd to say for a Manning offense, but it's obvious it's not the same. And what a weird, wild ride, because Brock Osweiler was in there, and he was winning games, and it really – it seemed a consensus that almost no matter what was going to happen, Osweiler was going to be the guy. And then against the Chargers, he just has a not even a terrible – I don't know. It was a bad game. And then Manning comes in and saves the day, and then, of course, he starts in the playoffs. Just improbable, all around. I agree, it would have been nice to see Antonio Brown in the game just to see how competitive it was, because total yards, you got the Steelers 396, Broncos 324, and a good chunk of those yards came on what I thought was the worst. And that's going out on a limb, because there were some weird calls in the Packers-Cardinals game. You just got some weird stuff from the refs, but I think the worst call from the refs of the weekend where Peyton Manning did his just, you know, famous patented give up sack of himself. He falls to the ground, and that is a legal thing in the NFL. You can kneel to the ground and give yourself up. And since nobody touched him, even though he gave himself up, he gets up and he throws the ball. I just thought that was ridiculous. The refs obviously should have seen that he gave himself up and that play should have never happened. And it flips in field position. Anybody feel the same way about that call or disagree?
Oh, I love that. I love that whole play. I thought that was just brilliant of Peyton Manning to use the rules that way. That's his brilliance. It's not that he can play anymore. It's his mind. I mean, he's going to be a fantastic offensive coordinator if that's the route he wants to go. He's going to be amazing. So I'm sorry if you don't like his weird evil genius, but I think it's fantastic.
It was a heads-up play, but I think it's almost unquestionable that he gave himself up, because you see him do this all the time, and it's something that's helped him lengthen his career. You know, it's a choice he made long ago, it seems. Just when somebody's in his face, he goes to the ground and basically sacks himself. That way he doesn't take a big hit and, you know, get injured and ruin his team's chances. It's an interesting way to go, but he's done it so many times, and he did it on that play. I just can't believe the refs let it continue, because – especially because it's not like it's a Russell Wilson or somebody who runs. I just thought he definitely gave himself up. I don't think it was a completely game-changing play, I guess, but it really flipped some field position, and I think it should have been called the other way. all I'm going to say. All right, well, guys.
You're also really biased against Peyton Manning, though, Ryan. I mean,
I totally am.
You are.
I totally am. But I think if Brady did the same thing, I would just – it would be the same. Because he doesn't do it nearly as much as Manning, but he does it sometimes. And
I'll be honest with you. If Brady did it, I would hate it because I don't like Tom Brady. And there's the difference.
And I just
is that I don't mind Peyton Manning. Right. You hate Peyton Manning. There you go. And that's okay.
Well, whether I like it or hate it, I just think it was the wrong call because we've seen, let's take it to my team for fun. I've seen Maurice Jones-Drew kneel at right before the goal line so the clock would keep running and they could kick a field goal to win. It's a thing that you can do, and Manning just does it so many times. I was just surprised by the call. Probably spent too much time on it, and no one seems to be agreeing with me, which is fine. Which is fine, guys. So we've got the championship game set up at the end of the day. You got the 1 and 2 seeds playing each other. Everyone talked about how nobody wanted to play the Seahawks and nobody wanted to play the Steelers, but it turns out just the 1 and 2 seeds are going to be there. So Denver's going to host and Carolina's going to host, and it should be an amazing championship Sunday. So. Any final words from Ramona?
No, I'm very happy with the outcomes of the game this weekend. So I'm looking forward to next weekend and wrapping up football with you guys.
Yes. I'm really glad you could join us today. You brighten up our podcast days and made the show much more interesting than us three could have by ourselves. I promise that. Promise that.
That doesn't sound like a compliment.
No. It's look, I wasn't saying the show would be bad. I'm just saying you added to it. I like that. Tim, thanks for joining us kind of last minute talking about the divisional round games. Are you excited for the championship games, or are you just kind of all out because the Falcons are out?
I mean, like I'll have them on, but it is what it is to me at this point. Like, I mean, I don't know. I miss football that I actually cared about. Does that make sense?
You miss it. It's all right. Well, you know, that's getting really, really sad. But, Justin, I'll give
you props.
You've
been missing that since, like, 2013 then.
Yeah, no. It's been a long time since that.
Trust me, I know
hate how that you, goes. Ramona.
No, you don't. I'm your favorite.
No, we shouldn't be friends.
No, let's give props to Justin for not crying on the podcast live. I just applaud. Like, you know,
he does not get to cry. If they got to the Super Bowl again, that's just greedy. It's just greedy. No, he doesn't get to cry. I'm sorry. 12 men.
I agree.
Back down.
He put it out there. You know, I just want to. I want to give him props. You know, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. Good job, Justin.
No.
Hey, you know what? I couldn't imagine anything in a season that could be worse than not going to the Super Bowl. There's certainly no worse outcome than that. So I'm trying to be strong and keep it together. I think I can hold it together just a few minutes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Tim, go give Justin a hug.
Angry with me saying that.
Tim, you understand the sweet bitterness of disappointment. Go give Justin a hug.
I don't know this guy. I owe him no loyalty or allegiance.
Wow.
I mean,
Tim,
it would also be a long
fight.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll go back into classic satellite mode. I'll be sipping my coffee while passive-aggressively riding my bike in the rain.
Nice.
Sounds very, very emo. That's great. Or yeah, grunge. We'll go grunge.
Nirvana is the greatest ever.
Brady, Manning, Roethlisberger, Flacco, the only AFC quarterbacks to get to the Super Bowl. We shall add Bortles to that list starting next year.
Wow. Again, Ryan, I would love to know what you take before you make those statements, because that must be an amazing trip.
Well, it was just wishful thinking, of course. So, again, I'm the Jaguars super fan. Hopefully I can get to this point. Please tune in to our future episodes previewing the championship games and the recaps, and then, of course, our Super Bowl coverage as well. So thanks to Ramona, Tim, and the new guy, Justin. This has been Next Fan Up, and we will see you next time.